And take the word of the Lord and turn with me in it to 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11, this evening we'll be reading all the chapter, verses 1 through 43. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 43. Hear now the word of our great God and Savior who speaks to us. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods. Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Mocom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on the mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and Molech, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. Thus also he did for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and I will give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of your hand, out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Then the Lord raised up an adversary to Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the royal line in Edom. For it came about when David was in Edom, and Joab the commander of the army had gone up to bury the slain, and had struck down every male in Edom for Joab. And all Israel stayed there 6 months until he had cut off every male in Edom. And Hadad fled to Egypt, he and certain Edomites and his father's servants with him, while Hadad was a young boy. They arose from Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them from Paran and came to Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house and assigned him food and gave him land. Now Hadad found great favor before Pharaoh, so that he gave him in marriage the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tapenes, the queen. The sister of Tapenes bore his son Genubath, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house, and Genubath was in Pharaoh's house among the sons of Pharaoh. But when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers and that Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Send me away that I may go to my own country." Then Pharaoh said to him, "But what have you lacked with me that, behold, you are seeking to go to your own country?" And he answered, "Nothing. Nevertheless, you must surely let me go." God also raised up another adversary to him, that is to Solomon, Rezon, the son of Eliada, who had fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. He gathered men to himself and became leader of a marauding band after David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and stayed there and reigned in Damascus. So he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, along with the evil that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Aram. Then Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zerida, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. Now this was the reason why he rebelled against the king. Solomon built the Millo and closed up the breach of the city of his father David. Now the man Jeroboam was a valiant warrior, and when Solomon saw that the young man was industrious, he appointed him over all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. It came about at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him on the road. Now Ahijah had clothed himself with a new cloak, and both of them were alone in the field. Then Ahijah took hold of the new cloak which was on him and tore it into 12 pieces. He said to Jeroboam, "Take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give you 10 tribes. Well, he will have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the sons of Ammon. And they have not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight and observing my statutes and my ordinances as his father David did. Nevertheless, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose, who observed my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom from his son's hand and give it to you, even 10 tribes. But to his son I will give 1 tribe, that my servant David may have a lamp always before me in Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen for myself to put my name. I will take you, and you shall reign over whatever you desire, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it will be that if you listen to all that I command you, and walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight by observing my statutes and my commandments as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build you an enduring house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. Thus I will afflict the descendants of David for this, but not always." Solomon sought therefore to put Jeroboam to death. But Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt to Shishak, king of Egypt, and he was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon and whatever he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? Thus the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of his father David, and his son Rehoboam reigned in his place. And that is God's word, 1 Kings chapter 11. Well, so far we have seen with Solomon is that almost everything involving him by the grace of God has been about great wisdom, wonderful and numerous building, lots of gold and riches. Everything has been good. And now we get to this chapter, and the first words are, "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women." And after going through Joshua and Judges and Samuel, this has kind of been, in the first 10 chapters, it's been kind of refreshing to see, and the hope that is gained in those 10 chapters, and then it's like there's this big thud. What we see is that Solomon loved foreign women and married them. These were pagan women. Yahweh in Deuteronomy 7, Exodus 34, had warned against intermarrying with pagans, for he promised, "Surely they, that the pagan women, will turn away your heart after other gods." And that's exactly what happened eventually. Verse 4 here, "When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to Yahweh as his God, as the heart of David his father was." So verse 5, Solomon went after the Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. What great evil he did in Yahweh's sight. We learn here of the heart that Yahweh desires from his people, one in which only loves him. And this shows us the problem is, sometimes we attribute problems where they shouldn't be. The problem is not with his wealth, it's not with luxury, it's not with high-handedness that he has, or the wisdom that he has, or popularity, or renown, or splendor, or achievement. Those are not the problems. The problem here is other gods. This is the first commandment. "You shall have no other gods before me." And yet this sin is so subtle because it deals with the internals of the heart. It didn't work out to full fruition until late in Solomon's life. There had been sin previously, marrying these foreign women, political reasons with that, probably because he's the king and he married all these women. He might not even have known them all. And yet he marries them, he breaks the seventh commandment, and that later leads to this breaking of the first commandment. Which is the breaking of the seventh commandment is really the breaking of the first commandment already. Because he did not love God. And so for you who are or will be entering into marriage for the future, I shouldn't have to warn you not to marry many women or many husbands. That's not a very big issue in our day. And yet, you are to marry. The command here is to marry only in the Lord. You marry only in the Lord. And the amount of women, marrying them for political gain here, drew his heart away from the Lord. He broke two different things. He married many women, and he did not marry in the Lord. And not marrying in the Lord, children, especially listen, that drew his heart away. That's what God promises, that if you marry not in the Lord, that spouse that you take on, they will draw you away from your God, Yahweh, and they will draw you towards their gods, whatever they may be. And that might be money or lands or other actual gods. And from this, we see here that Solomon officially has not renounced Yahweh, and yet his heart was not completely with Yahweh. And from this, Solomon meets the anger of the Lord, verses 9 through 13. Yahweh's showing his covenantal jealousy here for himself and his own worship. And so, beloved, you're being called to put off your foreign gods and those things that drag you away from the Lord and come back to Yahweh, who is a jealous God. And then the rest of the chapter, we see the sovereignty of the Lord in bringing against Solomon three different enemies in verses 14 23 and 26, all of which Yahweh raised up as an adversary to Solomon and Israel. And so you see the consequences of his sin. There at one time, in the first 10 chapters we saw, there is great peace. There's no enemies on either side, on any side. And because of Solomon's sin, his breaking of the seventh commandment, his breaking of the first commandment, and all the other commandments, guilty of all of them, the peace is gone. Enemies are brought in again. Who are they brought in by? They're brought in by the Lord. For Jeroboam, verse 31 is probably most particularly in our minds, because this is what leads to the division of the northern and southern kingdoms, which were in the southern kingdom for Ezra in the mornings now. That's where the southern kingdom came from. It came because of Solomon's sin. He broke covenant. And we see verse 31. Jeroboam is given the reason. It says, verse 27, now this was the reason why he rebelled against the king. And it gives some background, and then it goes to verse 31. And Ahijah, the Lord speaking through Ahijah, says, take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give you 10 tribes. But he will have one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel. And then he says, because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess, and Chemosh. And it's all because of why Solomon married foreign women. And he introduced those gods through the women brought in. So that nation of Israel would split into two kingdoms in the future. And the Lord is completely sovereign over this history. It says the reason is why Jeroboam would take the 10 tribes. And Rehoboam will learn next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we'll see why he gets the southern kingdoms, because the Lord gave it to Jeroboam. And he took it from Solomon's family. And yet in Yahweh's anger, he still remains faithful to the promises of Solomon, doesn't he? He is sustained through, though judgment would come not upon Solomon because of David, but to Solomon's son because of Solomon. And Yahweh won't be tearing away all the kingdom, just part of it. For God's people, we also can have hope in verse 39. He says, "Thus I will afflict the descendants of David for this, but not always." That's the fatherly discipline. He rips out part of the nation, 10 tribes from the nation. Gives them to the northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom only one tribe, or we might say 2 tribes, but 1 tribe. A fatherly discipline comes. But it will not be forever, beloved, for you who are God's people. Keep that in mind when the discipline comes from the Lord because of your sin. That in the mind of the Father towards you, and that discipline is that He loves you unconditionally. That's why He disciplines you. And He loves you in His Son. And He will perfect you on the last day. Let's pray. Our Father, we know that You are a jealous God. A God who desires for us, Your people, to love You and obey You always. And here's Solomon, and here's us, because we do the same every day. We break the first commandment. We have other gods, and we worship those other gods. And we take those gods and live out what they desire in some sense. We love the world and the things of the world. And we would rather have those at times then we would rather have You. And we break the first commandment. And we break the second commandment, because then we don't worship in the way we ought to worship, in the manner we ought to worship. And we take Your name in vain, because we don't honor You with our words, and we don't cherish You, and we don't give You the glory. We would rather give ourselves the glory or give another the glory. And we speak ill of You because we speak and not worshiping You. We've chosen other gods. We certainly don't work as we ought to for 6 days and then rest on the Lord's day. There's great sin on this day where we're not delighting in You. We'd rather talk about and think about and take part in the other gods that we have. Whether that be the gods of having a clean home or the gods of thinking about work when we ought not to. We don't delight in You as we ought. We'd rather seek our own pleasure on this day. We don't submit to those authorities over us in the fifth commandment and honor those who are over us. And nor do we rule over others as we ought to in our particular positions, whether that's parents or elders or whatever it may be. We've forsaken that commandment and we've murdered in our hearts. We've hated people. We've become angry at people sinfully. We've, like Solomon, lusted after women and longed to have these many. Look at all these wives that he has and all these concubines and many women. And Lord, we're no different. We often don't love our spouses as we ought, and we don't respect them. Father, we steal. We take from the time that You give us, and we don't use it as we ought to. We waste it. We don't serve Your church. We don't serve You for Your glory through Christ. But again, we'd rather take that glory ourselves. And we've lied, we've bared false witness, we've exaggerated the truth, we've understated the truth. Even about You and Your word and the truth about us. We've even convinced ourselves at some points that we are not yours, or that we are yours and we are not, which we'll learn about this evening in the Gospel of John. And then also we've coveted. We've coveted that which is our neighbor's. We've wanted what they have and yet can't have. You have not wanted us to have those things. And we've made those things our gods, longing after them. Father, we pray this evening, as we've broken your commandments and are guilty of all of them, we pray that you would cleanse us of our sin. Through the sacrifice and the blood of shed by your Son, Jesus Christ, cleanse us of our sin as far as the east is from the west. Cause us to confess our sins. Cause us to be forgiven of our sins, that we would come to you and repent and turn from them and turn unto you. Father, we know that we commit sins that we don't even know we commit. Lord, forgive us of those sins. And such sins, we ask that you would reveal them to us, that we might turn away from them. Father, we ask that you would be a merciful God. As you were still, even here, merciful to Solomon, you exercised your fatherly discipline, and he slept with his fathers. He did not die, for he lives now. And Lord, may it be for us that even despite our sin that we still commit, that you would turn us from it to you, and that you would not leave us nor forsake us. And that for those who are any who are here who are rebuked of their sin, who have not ever turned to you but who are living in sin, Father, turn their hearts unto your Son, Jesus Christ, by your Spirit. Cause them to have ears to hear and eyes to see the Savior who is calling them with open arms to give them rest to those who are weary and heavy laden. Father, as we now continue in our worship, we ask that you would watch over us and care for us. Cause us to keep your commandments even now. Not be distracted, to worship in our hearts, to worship you, and to worship in a right way. May our words that we speak with our mouth, may the song that we are about to sing, may it be pleasing in your ears. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.